Hello, a very warm welcome back to Women of the Future. This is episode 3, and we are taking the subject up that we did on a previous occasion entitled That It Is a Sorrow to Take Sin. This is part 2 of the same subject. We hope that the first part of this topic has given you a lot of food for thought, because it's something that very few souls have actually understood and grasped. It is a very powerful subject, and it has very personal relevance to most souls because of what it offers you. The wisdom that it offers you is actually quite profound. So, Sister Denise, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you back again.
Thank you.
Sister Denise, tell us, could you expand more on the topic that you took up in the last episode? Could you tell us how you would want us to understand the subject in terms of applying it into one's daily life? And I'm particularly interested in the situation where most of us find ourselves in, where something has happened in the past where you've already taken sorrow, and now you're sitting with that burden on your shoulders and your heart, like millions of us are in the globe, on the globe, and we don't know what to do with it, because it's something that happened once, but it is a recurring nightmare for many people. How do you deal with that?
Something happens once, you think about it because you resent it. You will roll it around in your mind. Why did this happen? It shouldn't have happened. This one has no business doing this. And you kind of keep it alive. So what a woman of the future would learn to do is to drop it, to let it go, to move on, and not just hold on to it, you know, like grimly. The thing is, you actually prevent yourself from living, because the only moment in time that you can actually do anything about anything is the present. And your present, how you handle your present, even if you have a present moment where the remembrance of that bad thing comes up, you see, in the present, you have the option to say, okay, I know it happened, so be it, let go and move on. You know, you have to continue to tell yourself that, because if you get caught by it, you miss totally the present, you're back in the past, you're reliving it. That person did that bad thing once, and you are receiving it every time you're thinking about it. So it's getting worse and worse and worse. And this continued remembrance of it, this continued resentment of it, this is what causes the karmic account. This is why it's a sin, you know, because you are actually putting yourself into loss every time you do it. So in Brahma Kumaris, we have a concept which really helps this. We say, so be it, it happened. It was in the script, it was in the drama, it happened. And let go. You know, we say, it is drama. It was destined. And then you can move on, okay. You see.
Sister Denise, I have to ask you this at this point. Moving on is something that most of us would like to do. However, we both know that it takes a lot of power to pull that off, personal power. Tell us about thoughts in this scenario, and tell us about feelings. What do you do with your feelings? Because you have individuals listening to you right now who have been very badly hurt on a physical level, on an emotional level, and to many, that pain is, well, indelible pain. Okay? And now, it caused by somebody who loved them, who hated them, doesn't matter where it came from, but it caused such deep pain, and now they have the feelings. What do you do with the feelings?
So the feeling comes up, right? And it comes out of nowhere. The feeling comes up. Very often, something that happens in your mind at the level of feeling comes up because of an association. You may see, you may be the weather on that day may be the same as the weather of that day when it happened, and that will trigger the memory. Or a person will make a reference to something which somehow triggers an associated memory, and it just brings up all those feelings. So spiritual power is the ability to kind of hold those feelings and let them go back down again. Like it's, you know, like when milk boils over, it just goes everywhere. But you could take it off the heat, it'll go back down. And when the feelings come, the thoughts come. And when the thoughts come, you're going to find somebody to tell what happened. And then they're going to join you in, oh, how terrible, and all of this, you see. But there's nothing you can actually do to make that historical event not have happened, you see. So I think what's very important about letting go and moving on is acceptance.
Of what?
Just acceptance, it happened. Because what happens in our thinking is we say, it should not have happened.
Yes, that is a song we sing often, don't we?
Yes, and that's not a very sensible song because it did happen. And in our culture, so many people say, it should have been like this, it shouldn't have been like this, these modal verbs, should, have to, ought to, must, etc. In spirituality, we say, it happened, and so be it. And who am I? I'm the same person. I still exist. I still have all of my faculties with me. What is the depth of my identity? It's not that event. That event is purely and simply a historical occurrence. And in world history, there are terrible things that happen. And there are terrible things that happen to us. To more people, to some people more, to some people less. But when a terrible thing happens, we have to be able to lay it to rest. Because without that, we cannot move on. So when the feelings come, which bring the thoughts, in our consciousness, for everything we have options. You know, I can entertain and sustain and get caught up and trapped in those thoughts very easily, but it's optional. And I can say, okay, that's true, it was really terrible, it happened. Now, what am I going to think? Now, what am I going to feel? Because the things we feel are very much products of what we think. And if a memory comes up, which brings all kinds of feelings with it, it comes up into our conscious mind or the screen of our mind, and then we observe it, and we can decide, and we have to decide, I'll keep it, or I'll say, you know, this is a historical event, I have worked it through, and it came up again, and I'm satisfied that, okay, it is what it is. Now, I don't need to think about it now because I've already thought about it enough, you know. This is a practice.
Okay. Sister Denise, holding on to the past, holding on to pain, trauma, is a sign of what then?
In light of what attachment?
Attachment?
Yeah, because we're attached to it. We won't let go. It's like a monkey puts his hand into a narrow jar to pick up the peanuts. He won't let go. He'd rather die than let go.
Okay, so, hold on. I think we might have to extend this to a third episode because now you've opened up another can of worms, as it were. Are you saying we hold on to the pain and not the other way around?
Well, if you're attached to something or something's attached to you, you're still trapped. And so I think what we need to do is, first of all, acknowledge that we have the option to not go there, to let it go, to not think about it. We have the option. And we can only be free of it when we let it go. You can't hold on to a branch, flapping your wings, and expect to be able to fly. You can't fly unless you let go of the branch. And this we have to practice, because we have to undo a very, very deep habit of holding on. And you know, it's so deep among so many people that it's embedded into the culture, that you resent, you bear a grudge. I mean, grudges can be carried from generations onto subsequent generations, and somebody is avenging his great-great-grandfather for something that happened who knows when, you see. And sometimes it's sort of repeated. You know, when we talk about something that happened and we amplify how horrible it was, we give it life.
Okay, so talking about past pain amplifies it. It doesn't bring resolution.
Well, it depends how you talk about it. You see, if you have a trauma, which many people have many traumas, okay, you say, okay, I need to get through this trauma. So you open it out. And you say, okay, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. You acknowledge it. Maybe you need to feel it. Maybe you had put away your feelings and you never really grieved it or whatever. You need to do that and then lay it to rest. What our problem is, we may open it up and work it through, but we don't lay it to rest. So we'll bring it up again and again. And we may very often use it as an excuse as to why we have some behavioral problem or why we fail at something or something. I mean, every time we have a trauma, every time something really bad happens, of course it injures us psychically, physically, emotionally, or whatever, but it's still in our hands to relearn healthy ways of doing things, to accept that, okay, it happened, okay, I got scarred, but it doesn't have to be a handicap, you see. That's optional. So I think we need to really acknowledge to ourselves that it is our choice if we are limited by it. And if we want to get past it and get beyond it, it's a choice which is in our power to exercise.
It is a choice. Mr. Denise, a lot of people feel they do not have a choice because the nature of the trauma was so overwhelming that they're literally, to use a common expression, scarred for life.
Well, you may be scarred for life, but, you know, there's enough people who have had similar experiences, who have worked through it, who carry the scars not as a limitation, but almost like, you know, like a good warrior has scars. If you don't have any experience, if you don't have any scars, you don't have any that substance that makes you an authority of that particular issue, you can say. And I think that you can actually turn your scars into tools and powers that help you and maybe inspire others to get through these things, you know. I mean, say for example, somebody gets cancer and they think of it as a death sentence and And then if they read stories about people who also had cancer, maybe similar cancer, out of whatever cause or reason, but they decided to think about it in a way that they turned it into something that helped them understand life more deeply, helped them be more self-responsible, and they will say, you know, it was actually a really good thing because it helped me to grow up, to mature, and to maybe change my bad habits and become a very solid person, you see, because all of these bad things can be an excuse to feel sorry for yourself, and they can just as easily be turned into sort of stepping stones for reaching a higher stage of personal development. That is entirely in our hands. And I think the usefulness of the stories of how other people did it is it is a great inspiration that, well, if this one can do it, why not me? I can.
So we can learn from someone else's pain then.
Well, we can.
Yeah, that question is. Okay, Sister Denise, then responsibility is on the wounded to heal from their wounds. Why are we so reluctant to heal from our wounds? Why do we say, this is my wound, I'm wounded, I will look after this wound for life? Why do we do that?
Well, pain, you see. Pain is painful, obviously, but you have to really learn about pain, you see, because if you don't like pain and you have an antagonistic relationship with pain, it will always be more powerful than you, always.
Wait, hold on. If you have an antagonistic relationship with pain, it will always be more powerful than you. You have a relationship with pain?
Of course you do.
hold on, Sister Denise. Seriously, what does that mean?
Well, you have your pain, you hold on to it, that's a relationship.
Okay.
So now, if you change your relationship with pain and consider pain rather than an enemy, you say, okay, pain is a messenger, is trying to tell me something. Listen to it, you know. What are you telling me here? And you start to have not an antagonistic relationship, but a much more, or an adversarial relationship. No, you work with your pain. You listen to your pain, and your pain becomes your great teacher. There is no greater teacher than pain other than God, which can be also painful. So once you have a very good relationship with pain, that you understand the power and potency of pain to set you on the right track, you know, because it's only when you do something wrong that you get pain. If you're doing the right thing, you're okay. But we're living in such times where all of us come to the table doing things in a topsy-turvy way, which means a wrong way, and it's going to get us into trouble, and that trouble will be painful, which is a message to say, hey, you're going about life the wrong way, and this is why it's painful. So listen to the message of pain and you can start to correct your trajectory through life, and in the process become an extremely wise and deep person, which is well worth being.
Sister Denise, is it not the case that most people are afraid of not just one kind of pain, but all kinds of pain? We're afraid of pain. Okay, you've seen examples of rather large built men fainting at the sight of a needle.
All right.
Okay, we've seen. We think it's funny, except when it happens to us, then it's not so funny. But we're afraid of pain. Now you're talking about having a relationship with pain. that's a wow.
I think that okay, you have pain, you have trauma, and you have a relationship with it. You don't like it, you resent it, you want it to go away, you take drugs, this, that, or the other to make it go away. You know, the best painkiller is morphine, you know. And so so pain has a duty to tell you a message, to give you a message. And if you're avoiding it, it's going to intensify the pain.
Okay, so what you're saying is you can't run away from pain. You have to what? Manage your pain. Face it. Manage it.
You have to listen to it, first of all, I think.
It doesn't talk. It just hurts, Denise. It hurts a lot.
It talks.
Pain talks. Okay. Pain talks. Okay. Write that down. Yes.
No, and I'll tell what you, I've had some very interesting experiences with, people really avoid emotional pain, but try serious physical pain. It's bad, And there are people in this world who live with chronic pain, and they are, trying to destroy their bodies in the process, because pain is experienced through the body. So if you, instead of fighting the pain, you surrender to the pain. That is the actual act that you must do, is to surrender to the pain. That is when the pain will be able to deliver its message and you'll be able to hear it. And the message that pain will give you is very subtle and very deep, and something very, very important, like a kind of epiphany or something like this. And you have to get it. And as long as you're like this, fighting it, you're unable to hear. You know, it's almost like people who've turned off their conscience, they don't listen to that voice. So something has to be worse as to sort of get you. It's almost like a natural law. Something will happen to get you to get the message, you see. Because a human being cannot go beyond a certain point. So pain will be something that stops it going beyond that, and it'll put you right. It's a phenomenon. And anybody who has reach this point of surrendering to pain and experiencing how the pain will leave them and leave a legacy of wisdom, they will never again dislike pain. They will understand, yes, it is a great teacher.
Wow. As with the previous episode, that was quite an earful. I hope that you have been taking notes, because Sister Denise has shared something that I think very few people talk about. Pain is a universal phenomena, but yet most of us do not understand it, want to run away from it, hide from it, want to numb it. But Sister Denise has shared something so profound, and she says that pain that comes in whatever form, be it physical, emotional, and all types of other pain that we experience, is a message, and we should be listening to the message that pain is delivering, otherwise it'll talk louder. So that's a very powerful message, and I hope that you have taken as much benefit from today's talk as I have. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.